We got to draft Buck Rising into the show, Blaine. How from the Buck Rising Show and A to Z Sports. Buck Rising brought to you by Two Rivers Ford, home of the non-commissioned salespeople. Buck, how about that for a draft story? Blaine was in the library, then driving home from the library when he got his phone call.
Well, what were you reading in the library, Blaine?
No, I had a test the next day. So that was Sunday for me. So I had a test on the next day. So I'm like, I'm out.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's did you end up passing the test? I guess that's the question.
Oh, absolutely. I was a I was an honor student there, Buck. I graduated with a 3.4, by the way. Yeah. When you go to Ball State, Buck, you don't know you're going to the NFL, so you better get your books. And I already have my State Farm insurance job lined up.
There you go. I was like, State Farm insurance. Can you imagine?
Hey, man, he was ready to be a good neighbor, Buck. Jake from
like
State
a good
Ford
neighbor, like
State
a good
Ford.
Neighbor, Blaine Bishop is there. Like a good neighbor, Blaine Bishop is there. It could have been you in the commercials with.
Yep.
It could have been you in the commercials with Mahomes and Rodgers, Blaine. I don't know. That sounds like a pretty
good
thing.
It was in Richmond,
like
Indiana. Richmond, Indiana. Yeah. Oh my gosh!
Oh God,
there long.
No, nobody does. Richmond's a terrible place. I'm glad you got out.
Hey, Blaine is worried about you, Buck. He's concerned about something that's happening he saw earlier today on social media.
Oh, yeah, man. I saw that, man, you're about to get fired for a complaint with A to Z. And you had to explain the story of what's going on here that you were ripping, you know, a collar or something. And they were upset and used all kind of expletives to try to get you canned from A to Z.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's a good thing I'm working this dual salary situation, so if something falls through, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But so somebody sent Austin Stanley and Zach Bigham, who run A to Z Sports, an email about a month and a half ago, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was basically saying that I had insulted my guest. Who I don't have guests on the primetime show. It's just me in front of a camera and a microphone screaming for, you know, 35, 45 minutes every night. So I assume he was talking about him. And I do have a tendency to go at people because, you know, the internet is a stupid place and people say stupid things on the internet. And, you know, it's good to keep people engaged if they can get a rise out of me. So I understand it. But apparently, whatever I said to this poor soul, made him so upset that he had threatened to file a class action lawsuit against A to Z Sports, of which I believe that has yet to come to fruition. So I await the legal paperwork at the viewer's earliest convenience. But then last night, he sent another message into the chat while I was doing the primetime show, 8 p.m. Central Time, Sunday to Thursday night on A to Z Sports, and he said, A to Z Sports, fire this man, as if he was speaking to my bosses, when in reality, the chat goes directly to me, so I don't know if he's just too dumb to realize that he's talking directly to me. So, you know, I think I handled it very respectfully, and I told him where he could inquire about relieving me of my duties. I gave him both of my bosses' contact information, and I told him to have a lovely Wednesday evening, so I'm not sure whether he followed up with them or not.
We're on with Buck Rising with A to Z and the Buck Rising Show here on 104.5 The Zone.
That's right. He has not been relieved of his duties. But I'll tell you what's been relieved of its duties. That's restrictive numbering for skilled players of the NFL. Buck, two people are mad about this. You and Tom Brady are big mad about single digits and linebackers wearing 12 and all the other possibilities.
It's just so dumb. Like it's the only old man get off my lawn sports opinion I think I've ever had. So I don't know if this is just me aging or what's happening to me, because nobody else seems to care about this the way that I am bothered by it. But it just feels amateur. Like I don't need linebackers wearing single digits. I don't need wide receivers wearing 40. I think that's an incredibly, I think you want to keep some things that are college traditions in college and leave the NFL alone. Leave this, you know, and I don't want to call it a gimmick, because there's plenty of gimmicky stuff that trickles up from college to the pros. But I mean, for what? Like, are Titans fans out there really looking at Derrick Henry and saying, this man is a 2,000-yard-plus rusher, one of only 8 players in NFL history to do it, a back-to-back rushing champion wearing the number 22. So I want to see him change his number? I don't think that. Maybe I'm alone in this. I don't know. It's just dumb to me.
I was looking at it more as, you know, in a league where you don't have a lot of individuality, this will actually allow a little bit of it. And, you know, Blaine was saying earlier, he might get fined $5,000 if his sock was too close to his ankle or folded down. You know, this at least gives these guys a little bit of individuality.
Which is a fantastic argument to that, and I appreciate that context. But in the same breath, they're talking about restricting, you know, taunting and celebrations again, so that they're more tightened up on that. No pun intended. So for whatever little victory they think the players think that they're getting, there's going to be something where the league is just going to be stuffy and ridiculous about. I'd rather see Odell Beckham Jr. lifting his leg like a dog in the end zone and acting like he's peeing in celebration of a touchdown than I would rather see him wearing the number 3. I just would.
Buck Rising joins us right here on Blaine and Mickey.
Mm. So how do you think that would impact a 8-year-old if he saw someone in the end zone peeing like a dog to doing a dance with a jersey number of 45?
Yeah, I want nothing to do with that, Blaine. I would just start banging, my head against the glass in the press box, screaming, make it stop. That's how that would go down.
Well, we were talking about who was the best Titan first round pick in Titans history. Love to get your thoughts since 99 to today. Only first rounders. Who would you say is in the conversation? Who do you think is the best?
Man, that is an interesting conversation because my context for performance on the field really only spans about the last 5 years since I've been covering the team. I didn't grow up watching the Titans that way. So I think I probably would be doing somebody a disservice by just my memory of the team not going back far enough. But just within the context of the last 5 years, because I'm sure there have been better players selected in the first round, John Robinson's run on first round picks has yet to really pan out outside of Jeffrey Simmons, Jack Conklin. You know, these guys, these aren't guys who have made it to a second contract
and Lawan.
Yeah. And Lawan
was
wasn't
actually
the first
Rustin
round
Webster,
pick.
Yeah.
Lawan was taken pick before of John Robinson.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
correct.
Okay. Right.
With that in mind, you know, I don't want to do a disservice to the Titans greats who have come before them, but if I understand correctly, Javon Kearse was a first round pick, and it's hard to beat anybody called the Freak.
Yeah, the Freak out. He had his own song played there. Well, I guess besides getting irritated with, you know, the number issue, are there any rule changes that you want to happen that actually haven't happened? Because I want you to then email the sheriff, Roger Goodell, and tell him these are must-haves for you.
Rule change-wise, I mean, it's a minor adjustment, but I like what they did with making onside kicks easier to field. I really think that, you know, the way that they're going to have less people in, I think it's called the technical term is the setup zone for onside kicks. I want there to actually be the threat more than the infinitesimal chance that a team has of being able to recover an onside kick. I want that to be more, you know, more viable. So I really, really like the change that they've made to that rule. I mean, I think the thing that I would do away with, Blaine, is I don't, you know, for the same reason, the only reason that I'm not into soccer is because games can end in draws. I want regular season ties done away with. I want there to be a winner and I want there to be a loser. I hate the way that the format is set up that way. That's really my only complaint because the game has changed in all the ways that I want it to change. I want more points. I want more touchdowns. I want to see these NFL quarterbacks, these star players, last longer. They've done all of these things for me because I'm a millennial and I have a short attention span. So I appreciate that. But you can send the ability for teams to tie in the regular season straight into the sun, because I think that's such a waste of time.
All righty, and lastly for me real quick is, who has more pressure when you get drafted, the first rounder or the last rounder or undrafted player?
Well, I mean, the pressure would be on the first round pick. No, I mean, the salary is, everybody knows what a first round pick is making. Not everybody is paying attention to what the undrafted rookie free agent who gets recruited by the team immediately after the draft ends is making. In fact, that's the better story, right? Whereas if a first round pick, I mean, look at Corey Davis. Corey Davis was a fine player. He was a good player. He was not the fifth overall pick in the draft. Great player. That is going to follow Corey Davis for however long he continues to play in the NFL. The expectations on Corey Davis, Adoree Jackson, Rashawn Evans, who we're going to have an interesting conversation about probably after the draft concludes, whether they will pick up his fifth-year option or not, that remains to be seen. So without question, the expectations, the demands, and rightfully so, are far higher on a first-round pick than they are on anyone else, because we hyper-focus on the first round as if your team cannot legitimately improve in rounds 2 through 5. It's got to be the first-round pick. I mean, with the hit rate on the first-round picks being so much worse than it is on a second or a third rounder, people hyper-focus on these things so much so that, you know, the top 5 quarterbacks have fallen, their draft stock has fallen or their draft stock has risen 7 or 8 times in the 2.5 months that we have to talk about this thing from the time that the regular season ends, just because we don't have anything else to make the news cycle fresh. It's stupid, but it's the reality of the situation.
Well, we're Buck Rising from Buck Rising Show and A to Z Sports, Nashville.
Buck, we've got some seating available on the Christian Barmore train, and have I been able to kind of glean from your recent talking and interviews, maybe while you had Dane Brugler on, that you would like to join me on the Christian Barmore at 22 train? Should I make a reservation for you?
You may do that, and you may make. Am I allowed a plus one? Because I think we should bring more people on this trip with us, Mickey. I have had my opinion shifted. Mostly by Dane Brugler, to be honest with you, because I have gone about. No. It's not because of that. And Lucas told me today that was who you selected in your 104.5 The Zone mock draft, brought to us by our friends at Chattanooga Whiskey.
There you go.
I love the idea. I love the idea because it's stupid to draft a corner thinking that the corner is going to fix your defense when the biggest problem with the defense was last year was that you couldn't sniff a quarterback. What makes more sense is to upgrade the talent, not just the talent, but the depth along your front seven so that you have the ability to roll, you know, 4 and 5 and 6 deep off of the edge or off of the defensive line to where Tier Tart isn't your third best option. He's your fourth, where your Christian Barmore may play 30 or 40% of the snaps. But if he's playing 30, or if he's doing more with that 30 or 40% of the snaps, and he's bothering quarterbacks more with that 30 or 40% of the snaps, it makes all the sense in the world. Your secondary, and Blaine, I'm sure, you know, I'd be curious your thoughts on this. Your secondary can be helped massively, or your secondary can be, your deficiencies in the secondary can be hidden much easier if you have the ability to get pressure with 4. I think that upgrading that talent there and that depth, which failed them mightily when players got injured last year, makes all the difference in the world.
But good stuff, man. Normally you join us on Friday. We appreciate you taking a little time to join us by phone on this Thursday. On the way out, I'll ask you, are you fully engulfed in draft fever? Will you spend your weekend, you know, perusing mock drafts and continuing to try to figure out, you know, who the best option might be in the late, you know, fifth round or something as a value pick? Or are you fully engulfed in flames with the draft?
I mean, I'm going to do it because it's my job and that's what everybody else wants to talk about. But in the meantime, I consider it wildly sadistic that I would have to spend any more time looking over the same people that I've been looking at for the last 2.5 months. But that's the gig. So, you know, you do what you do.
Maybe something will change. All right, Buck, have a great weekend. Well, we will we'll talk to you next week, as it will be draft week, and we'll continue to talk about all of the same people even more. Thank you.
You know what? We'll actually be able to talk about somebody who's on the team this time, though. So I look forward to having an actually substantive conversation, because there will be a selection finally, thank God, made. See you, boys.